Thanks for listening to the Cool Church Podcast. This is Joanne Wilson, co-pastor at Cool Church. We're praying that wherever you are on this journey, that this message encourages you. And we want you to know that you were created out of love. And now, here's today's message.
I want you to do, amen? Amen. With that being said, I'm ready to preach. How many of y'all ready to hear a word? It's good. I'm outside, so I got to change the intensity of the light on my iPad because I can't see nothing. But it don't matter. I have hidden the word in my heart so that I should not sin against God. And the church says, if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to Luke, the book of Luke. Let me see. Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's in the New Testament, chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I promise you I won't take long because I want to turn up and I want to have fun with my family, and I know some folks don't have a seat, so I don't want you standing there forever. Luke chapter 15, and I'm going to start at verse 11 and read to verse 24. Promise you it will not take too long. Luke 15, 11 through 24. When you got it, say, got it. Good. Read this Bible here. It says, Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and he set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out as a citizen to that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, look at your neighbor, say, come to your senses. Look at your other neighbor, the one you don't like so much because you picked him second, and say, come to your senses. Yeah. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and I'm here starving to death? I will set out and I will go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. That is so interesting. He got up and he went to his father. I love this. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring me the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast in celebration. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost, but now he is found. So they began to celebrate. If you believe that, say amen. Today, if you're taking notes on this message on our family day, I've just entitled it something simple, calling it Family Reunion. Family Reunion. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you once again for this day. I've already said that this is the day that you have made. We shall rejoice. We shall be glad. And God, I pray in these next few moments that somebody understands that they can always come home. Because you're a father that's always waiting. Always waiting. You're the father that pursues us. You're the father that loves us. And God, you knew each and every person that was going to be here today. Before the earth began to spin on its axis, I pray that I would lie down as you rise up. Don't let these words be my own, but let them come directly from your throne room of grace. God, open hearts, minds, and ears to be receptive to a word that will always be about Jesus. God, we thank you. We praise you. I pray that by the time it's all said and done, somebody will know they can always come back to the Father. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, everyone said, somebody give Jesus a shout of praise. Y'all don't go too far. I promise I won't take long. Every pastor says that 10 altar calls later, but I'm serious. This chapter, Luke chapter 15, is a very interesting chapter because it's the chapter where Jesus tells parables. He tells stories about lost things. I love Jesus because he spoke in parables. And the reason he did that, he wanted to make the word. He is the word of God. For in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That's what John 1:1 says about Jesus, that Jesus himself is the living, breathing word. But he knew that sometimes the word was very complicated to understand. So because the word was so complex, he would simplify the word in parables so that the people of the time could understand what he was talking about. So if you ever read Luke chapter 15, you'll see that this is a chapter about lost things, things that are lost. And he starts the chapter talking about the lost sheep. And then he talks about the lost coin. And finally, he talks about the lost son. The lost sheep is an interesting parable because when you read it, and you've heard the verse a million times, that God will leave the 99 in open pastures and go after the one. How many of you are so glad that when you went off by yourself, God came and found you? We've read that passage that we serve the God. We sing reckless love. Oh, the overwhelming, never ending, reckless love of God. It is love that is not careful. It is a love that pursues you. So we hear about the lost sheep and know that God will leave the 99 for the one. But what I've also found very interesting about that passage is, though we always preach that God will leave the 99 for the one, isn't it interesting that he actually leaves 99 behind? Why is God so comfortable? Have you ever asked yourself this question? Why is God so comfortable leaving 99 for one? Why is it okay? Because the sheep are allowing us to see that this is a picture of church. The 99 or the 100 sheep and the one got away. God is trying to say that there is safety in the confines of the flock, the church, me and you, the body of Christ. We are safe in the confines of the flock. But every now and then, one of us gets away. Why is God so comfortable leaving us in the confines of the flock and going after the one? You know why? God will leave the 99 and go after the one because if you're one of the 99, you got 98 others with you. God is concerned about you being alone. What bothers me so many times is that people start having problems and you know what they do? They don't run to church, they run from it. They don't want to be around the flock. They want to be on their own. And God in this parable is letting us understand the dangers of being by yourself. It's not okay for you to leave the flock. God can leave the flock because the only time he leaves it is to go after one of us. He's trying to let us know that there is safety, there is security, there is help, there is blessing, there is provision when you stay inside the confines of the flock. When you are in trouble, don't run away from the flock. You need to run to it because there's security in numbers. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but maybe this is your first time at church in a long time. If you've been away from the flock, I challenge you to be surrounded by us because the worst thing in life is to feel like you're alone when there's an entire flock waiting on you to come home. So God shows us this parable of the sheep to say, hey, there's security in numbers that you should come back to. You should never be lost because you should always be a part of the crowd of Christ. But then he talks about the lost coin and he talks about this woman that has 10 coins. And she loses one and she's frantic. She pulls out the lamp and she's looking for her coin and she can't find it. And finally, when she finds it, she freaks out. She says, oh, my goodness, I found my lost coin. Y'all ever lost money before? Don't you feel like God's like smiling down on you like it was an angel in your washing machine when you pull out some clothes and it's like a $20 bill? Like, hallelujah, my washing machine is anointed in the name of Jesus. But my lost 20 has been lost, but now it is found. This lost coin is very interesting because the coins of the day in the original text would have been called drachma. I wasn't spitting. I didn't pronounce that wrong. Been called drachma. She had 10 drachmas. Now, the thing about a drachma is it was only the equivalent to 15 cents in this modern day money. So she had 10 of them. So she had $1.50, and she was going crazy looking for 15 cents. Why would a person with $1.50 go crazy looking for 15 cents? You would only go crazy looking for 15 cents if that $1.50 was all you had. When all you got is $1.50, it hurts to lose 15 cents. How many of y'all ever looked at y'all bank account and you was just praying that the Lord would fill it? How many of you ever looked at your bank account and your bank account was starving? I looked at my bank account some day, my bank account was hangry. It was just mad at me. Like, how dare you not put something in me? I've been there. I've been where my bank account was upside down when I had nothing in it. My bank account was so mad it was negative and it was saying, could you please put something in here? I've been there before. This woman is in a place where all she has left in the world is $1.50. She said, why would somebody spaz out and panic for 15 cents when you only have $1.50? 15 cents is everything. But what Jesus is trying to let us know is, although God already owns everything, he's looking for you like you're all he's got. I want somebody to catch that today, because I want you to understand your worth in the context of the kingdom. There's people that have come under this tent or are standing around the outskirts right now, and you think that you're not worth anything to God. That is the biggest lie from the pits of hell that can ever be spoken. To God who owns everything, you're still worth everything. He looks for you like he has nothing, because if he loses you, he feels like he loses everything. So we hear about the lost sheep. We hear about the lost coin. We have this theme of lost things. And finally, we get to the lost son. Now it's not about things anymore. Now it's about children. And this is a very interesting story for me, because this brat of a son demanded his father to give him everything that was his. I always tell my daughter, I love you, but you own nothing. It's my house. She said, I'm going to my room. I'm like, what? Okay, Dad, I'm going to your room. That's right. It's mine. I just allow you to stay there. And you should be thankful. He thought that was funny. I love this parable because it talks about a person that went so far left. You ever had those moments in life where you just go far left? Where you don't want to hear nothing from nobody. You just kind of want to do your own thing. Maybe not y'all. I know I've been there. I've been raised in church my entire life, but I know I had those moments when I went so far left. I didn't want nothing to do with church. I thought I heard it all, and I was like, God, let me just try my own thing for a little bit. How many of you know trying your own thing don't work out for too long? This guy, he went, he took all that his father had blessed him with. He went out into the country. He was spending his money on all kind of stuff, partying, turning up every night. He was the life of the party. Everybody wanted to be around him all the time until his money ran out. You know who's real when the money runs out. Everything ran out, and it gets so bad for him that he hires himself out as a servant in the country. It's like you know it's bad when you literally were like, man, I'll work for anything. He wasn't even working for money. He wanted some food, and he didn't even want any food. He was excited to eat from the same slop troughs that the pigs were eating from. Life got so bad that he was willing to put his face in the mess. I don't know about anybody else, but I've had times in my life where my face was in the mess, where I was willing to take anything because I had lost everything. And this young man, finally, I love what the Bible says in Luke 15, 17 through 18. It says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's servants have food to spare? And I'm here starving to death. I will set out and I will go back to my father. You ever had one of those moments where you just come to your senses? You've been out there acting crazy and like, oh snap, what am I doing? I love traveling. I love traveling because I get to see new parts of the world, and I try to travel as often as I can. I've been around the world preaching the gospel. I love to do it. But if I could be honest, maybe you're like me. I'm a homebody. I like staying home. I like my couch. You got a favorite spot in the couch? My wife, no, don't sit in that corner. That corner has my imprint on it. It's nice and warm. And I got my shows that I like to sit there and watch because I like being home. But when I travel, it's cool. You know, it's fun. I go travel. But like after a while, man, I don't care how long I travel and I don't care where I go. It could be the dopest place on the planet. There's always a point in my journey where I'm just like, man, it's time for me to go home. You ever felt like that? Like, I don't want to be a visitor forever. I don't want to go someplace and never feel like I have something that I can call my own. After a while, I'm just like, hey, I need my spot. I need my place. Vacations are cool, but I love coming home. I just want somebody to hear me today. No matter how far you are out there, you know you can always come home. You can always come home, man. Some of y'all have been so far and have been gone for so long. You feel like you don't have a place to go to, but you can always come home. They say there's no place like home for a reason. Listen, when I was a young man and I left home for the first time and I went to college, I was like, I'm leaving. I ain't never coming back. After 5 years, I was like, you know what? It's time to go home. And I love my parents because you know what they did? They're great parents. They welcomed me with open arms. Because I'm their son, there was always a place for me to come home to. You can always come home. But you know what I've realized? Some people, even though they have an open invitation to come home, they don't go home because their house doesn't feel like a home. When they go home, there's that person that's waiting there. When they go home, those problems still persist. When they go home, there's still those issues. The reason that we started Cool Church, our mission is to build strong families, to build strong futures. You say, why is that? Because every problem in the world can be traced back to a home. Tony Evans said it best. He said, messed up families mess up people. Messed up people mess up communities. Messed up communities mess up cities. Messed up cities, messed up states. Messed up states, messed up countries. Messed up countries, messed up continents. Messed up continents, mess up the world. Every problem in humanity can be traced back to a home. There are literally issues that are happening. And you don't have to tell me your issues. I've had my own share. There are literally things that are happening in people's home that makes them terrified to go back there. You say, my house doesn't feel like a home. I don't feel welcome in my own home. They don't want to see me in my home. I want you to understand that you can always come home. You know why? Because God is not mad at you. Some people feel like they can't go home because they feel like, oh, man, if I go back, that person that's mad at me, they're going to throw that stuff in my face, and I just can't deal with it. Look at what Luke 15 says. 18 and 19 says, it says, when he comes to his senses, he says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Look at this. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Now he starts beating himself up, right? And then he says, make me like one of your servants. What an interesting statement. Make me like one of your hired servants. Don't tell the God that made you what to make you. I want you to hear that. There's so many people that think they can't get back in God's graces because of their experience and because of what they've done and because of who they think they are. But you can never tell the God that made you what to make you. I leave my life in God's hands. I don't dictate who I am. I allow my Father to tell me who I am. Amen? You see, you can always come home because God is not mad at you. As a matter of fact, I want you to hear me today. He's madly in love with you. He's not mad at you. He's madly in love with you. And he gives you this thing called grace. Grace is called the unmerited favor of God. I'm getting something that I do not deserve. God does not give you grace because of what you've done. He gives you grace because of who you are. Hear me. You don't get grace because of what you've done. Forget every religion that tells you, oh yeah, you can work your way up to this. No. God does not give you grace because of what you've done, because you can't do enough. He gives you grace because of who you are. At one point or another in life, we've probably all experienced this. I know I've experienced it. I love my mom and I love my dad. They're here today. I want to talk about my mom for a second, because when I was a kid, I tried to do the right thing sometimes. But let me tell you something. There's a lot of times I did the wrong thing. How many of y'all had moments where you did not listen to your parents when you should have? Yeah. All of us. And if your hand's not up, you're a liar. I had those moments where I didn't always listen. And when me and my mom would beef, it would be crazy. I'm not going to lie. My mom's about 5 foot nothing, but she's an island lady from Trinidad. So I was terrified of her. And when I would do the wrong thing, she said, Terry, what's wrong with you, boy? You don't lose your mind. You ain't no sense. I'll cut your tail right now. Listen. My mom did not believe in timeout. She believed in knockout. Okay? It didn't matter how small she was. That hand would come across. It was a wrap. And if I wasn't close enough, she would find something. She could throw it with pinpoint accuracy. It would go around these poles, around that tent, and hit me on 995. She was surgical with it. She was a sniper. And there were moments in our time together that we did not get along, because she told me to do something that I did not want to do. And I did what every other kid did. I went to my room and I talked junk, because I knew if I talk. And how come when you go in your room and close the door and you talk junk, they know? I hear you in there. How? The Holy Spirit did tell me. I went in my room and talked junk. I'd be mad. Mom. Talking all kind of nonsense. And I'd be upset. And I'm sure she's probably upset. She's like, I tired tell that boy, you don't listen. You hard headed, you don't listen. He's stubborn, he like he fired up. My dad's here. What up, Dad? We'd be both mad, and I'd be in my room and I'd be upset, and she'd be outside, she'd be upset. And then I would be in my room, right, and the door would close, and then with the door closed, smells would start to emanate from parts of the house. And it was like, you seen them cartoons where the smoke started to travel like this, and then the character starts sniffing it, and then they nose like guides them through the air with the smells. The smell would come under my door. She used to make some roll tea or some bus up. The macaroni pie. She just makes she makes some kind of food, man. I'd be mad. But then when I smell that food, all of a sudden, all my anger would disappear. And I would have to see where that smell was coming from. And that smell would attract me out the room. And down the hall and through the living room, and I would fly to the kitchen, and she'd be right there in that kitchen, and she did what every mom does. She might have been mad, I might have been mad, but that food was cooking, and she'll turn around and look at me and she say, "You hungry?" That's how we made up. You didn't even need to say nothing else after that. You hungry? She knew I wasn't going to stay in that room when that food came out. Here's what's beautiful about what she did, though. My actions were not proper. My actions were not proper, but it did not stop my mom from acting and doing what was right. though I might not have been acting like her son, she still chose to feed me like her son. I want somebody to hear me. Just because you're not doing the right thing does not mean that your parents stop being parents. How many times have we gotten it wrong and our parents still do what parents do? They take care of us. This is the God that we serve that says no matter how stupid we may have been acting, He still is preparing a place for us. He's still preparing ways to take care of us. He still makes sure we woke up this morning. He still makes sure we got a roof over our head. He still makes sure we got food in our belly. He still makes sure there's people around us that love us. He still makes sure that we are taken care of, even if we don't like Him in the moment. This is the kind of God that we serve. It's not a God that is mad at you. It's a God that is madly in love with you. And even when you don't do the right thing, He's not going to stop doing the right thing because He's a father and that's what good fathers do. But there's one more piece to it. You see, when you know that God is not mad at you, you know that there's no place that you can go that's too far to come back from. God's not mad at you. You say, oh, He might not be mad, but I've gone too far. If He's not mad at you, it doesn't matter how far you've gone. We serve a God that doesn't care about where you've been. Just cares about where you are because He wants to be there with you. For the Bible says in Luke 15:20, but while He was still a long way off, His father saw Him and was filled with compassion for Him. He ran to His son. I love that. He threw His arms around Him and He kissed Him. If you know anything about the culture today, great men don't run. They are run too. Especially when they know that they are not in the wrong. They will stand there and you must come to them. But this is the father that He sees His son in the distance. And He doesn't care what He's done. He doesn't care where He's come from. He just sees Him and says, I gotta get to Him. I want somebody to hear me and understand me today. There's nothing you can do. There's no place you can go to get away from the love of God. Because all He ever wants to do is be reunited with you. Your arms may be too short to box with God, but His arms are too long to let you go. He just wants to embrace you. I don't know where you come from today. I don't know what your issues are. But can I tell you? He loves you right where you're at. I don't want to embarrass you. But right, you just looked up at me. In the back. You see me? Wave at me. I'm not going to call you up here. I promise. Yeah. Stay right there. What's your name? Somebody play telephone and get me his name. Rudolph. How you doing, Rudolph? It's better than I tell you. Let me show you. Pretend I'm God. Thank God I'm not. Because, man, the person that cut me off on the highway this morning, he wouldn't have made it here today. But Rudolph, let's pretend I'm God. Let's pretend you're you. I know sometimes you hear the preachers talk about God. It's like, God is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. But there might not be times that He feels that close. Say, God will never leave me or forsake me. And you looking around saying, where's He been? You ain't seen my life. Where's this God that's always with me? Where's this God that feels close? He's way up there, I'm way down here. How could you lie to me and tell me that He's close to me? Rudolph, I don't know if you feel like that. I felt like that a million times, bro. But I want you to know that our God's arms are so long. You can stay right there. He's still going to reach you. I'll show you. Baby girl, come here. Quick. Grab my hand. Mitzi, I'm glad you got up. Come. Grab her hand. Darren, you here? Frankie, come. Grab her hand, quick. Katie, come. Keep reaching back. Any servant leaders that know, grab a hand. Grab a hand. Reach back. Reach back. Reach back. Keep reaching back. Keep reaching back. Keep reaching back. Keep going. Get in the line. We're not going to stop till we reach Rudolph. We're not going to stop till we reach him. We're not going to stop till we reach him. I want to know. I need some more help. We got to reach Rudolph because I love Rudolph too much to leave him back there. I just want to touch him. I just want to touch him. I want him to know. Oh my God, it feels so good. Hey, y'all want to know why we need church? Because you may not feel God, but you should feel his people. We're a family. And we got to reach out to those that feel like nobody's there. Hey, but Rudolph, let me tell you something. As beautiful as this picture is, this is still not the picture of God. This is the picture of church. Let me show you what the picture of God looks like. I might be up here, but you know what? I can't trust anybody to get to you. I love you so much, I got to get to you myself. So I'm going to come down because I want you to know that when you draw near to God, he draws near to you and he loves you and he lets you know you are a son. You are a son of the Most High God. Don't let anybody tell you this. God loves you more than you'll ever know. And I want to take a moment to speak life into you today because I don't believe you're here by accident, man. I don't know what your relationship with God is like. Man, you're probably the most saved person here and it's okay. But if you're not, we're here for you. There's a church here for you. But if nobody ever shows up, I want you to understand God's embrace is so long, man. All he ever wants, we might fight with him, but not enough for him not to still want to pull you close and say, you're my son and I love you. Hear the voice of God. He loves you today. Y'all give it up for Rudolph, man. Thank you. You see, I pray to God somebody can see the picture. Because the lost sheep is about us staying with the flock. The lost coin is about the value of lost things. But the lost son is about something that's so much better. It's not about something being lost. It's about something being dead. Because the last thing that the father says, my son was dead, but now he is alive. We serve the God that said, I can't trust anybody to bring my kids back to life. I gotta come down myself and I gotta show them that even when it looks like it's over, even when it looks like things are dead, I got resurrection power and dead things can come back to life. And if you don't believe I can save you, let me show you first how I saved myself. His son Jesus was sacrificed, came down to earth, was killed on a cross, but he did not stay dead. 3 days later, he got back up to show us that he has resurrection power. So if your situation is dead today, we serve the God that brings dead things back to life. If you believe it, say amen.
Thank you so much for listening. To hear more messages like this one, please be sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel. And if you like what you've heard, please consider sharing it with your friends because it helps so much. Don't forget to connect with us at our website, thecoolchurch.com. And always remember that you were created out of love.